Thanks, Jace. That's a verse I was going to be sharing a little bit. I'm just going to share briefly, and then Joel's going to share. Matthew 12. Let's start in verse 17. We'll start in verse 18. This is quoted from Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. So over the past day or two, just the one part of the verse, a bruised reed he will not break, just really was touching my heart. And, you know, thinking about someone who's broken, hurting, hopeless, in despair. And when you see a reed and it's kind of bent like that, it can't be straightened up in the natural. And it seems to be, it's going to be dying and useless. But Jesus saw something different when he looked at that. He said, that one needs a touch of the Spirit. He needs healing, restoration, revival. So let's look at the first section, verse 19. It says, this is some characteristic of Christ. He will not quarrel nor cry out. So he will not quarrel. Now let's, if Jesus did not quarrel, now let's examine our own hearts here. Think of the last time that you had a quarrel with someone. It might not have been too long ago. It could have been in the past week. So let's look at James chapter 4. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hatred or enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So where do wars and fights come from among you? Comes from your desire for pleasure. Comes from covetousness, envy, lust. You know, like when you see, you know, I want this, I want that, and grabbing, even amongst the little children, grabbing. You know, it's, you want it. It comes from coveting. I want what that person has, right? But even as adults, when you're, look at the Pharisees, when Jesus was, you can look at that verse right before. It says in verse 14 in Matthew 12, the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Do you know why? Because he healed a man who had a withered hand on the Sabbath. They didn't see that he healed the man. They said, hey, he did something on the Sabbath, something I can point the finger at. But really, it was because of envy. And even Pilate knew that. And when he was before Pilate, he says he knew, it says that he knew that, that he was handed over because of envy. Envy causes death. Envy leads to death. Covetousness, lust, the desire for pleasure leads to death. And so what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. It says God resists the proud. You know, James 4:4, as we're reading that, it reminded me of that. That's one of the first verses that ever pierced my heart. You know, when I was living for the world, when I was, you know, going to the nightclub on Friday night, Saturday, and on Sunday morning, I'd go to church. You know what that's called? It's called friendship with the world. It's called adultery. It says that adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. It doesn't work. That's called hypocrisy. And that's what I was. I was a hypocrite. And so it's a warning. It's very sobering. When I read that verse and you know, I had someone come to me and saw my life and says, you know what? You're on a dangerous path. If you continue this way, it will lead you into hell. So friendship with the world is like adultery, right? You're holding the hand with the world and you're holding it and trying to hold the hand on Sunday morning with Christ. That's adultery. So Jesus, he came, he didn't quarrel or fight. It says he didn't raise his voice in the streets. He didn't cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. You know, it's interesting. That means, you know, he's going to be meek, peaceful, gentle. He didn't seek publicity or popularity. He didn't seek for worldly honor. You know, there's many people, you know, maybe they have a healing ministry and they announce it and they are proclaiming it, you know, come and get healed and come and then you go and they're more concerned about the offering than they are about Jesus. But with Jesus, he wasn't seeking that, because in verse 15 it says, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there and great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. When things were getting stirred up, he withdrew. He wasn't trying to draw a crowd for himself. They were following him because they saw his life. Yes, they saw that he was doing some healing, so many followed him because of the miracles. Then he said in verse 16, he warned them not to make him known. He did that because he was doing all these miracles, but he didn't want people coming to him just for miracles. So he's like, often he would heal people and he'd say, don't tell anyone about this. You know, it confused me at first. Well, why? We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. Well, of course. But at that time, because so many people were being healed, he didn't want just people coming just for the healings. He didn't want to create a stir and have all these crowds coming. He wasn't trying to draw attention to himself that way. So he wasn't trying to cry out in the street saying, hey, you know, come get healed and I'm going to have this big ministry. That's why when we see that when he had died and in the upper room, there's only 120 after 3 years of all that he did. And everything that he did, it says all the world couldn't contain all the books of all the miracles and the different things that he did if we wrote them down. But yet there's only 120 who were willing to just count the cost there at that time. Okay, so then we get back to a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Maybe you feel like a bruised reed this morning. Maybe you feel like, you know, it says a smoking flax. You know, think of a candle where it just burns down so short and there's only a red tip. It's just a little bit of smoldering there. He's not going to snuff it out. Do you need revival this morning? You know, are you spiritually... Do you have faith? Are you hopeless? You know how we can be revived? It says in Isaiah 57:15. This is the secret to revival. Thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If you're feeling dead because of sin, because of transgression, don't be proud and say, you know, I'm just going to continue in my way. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, push through and it's okay. You know, the Bible says there's grace for it. Well, that's the wrong type of grace. It says that we're not supposed to use grace as a license for sin in Jude. It says people came in to bring that deception. It's not a license for sin. If we want to be revived, we need to be contrite and humble. Contrite and humble. That bruised reed who's mourning over their sin. That bruised reed who feels like, you know, when like Peter fell down to Jesus and says, I'm not worthy, right? Go away from me, Jesus. When he saw the miracle he did, when Jesus had compassion on him, even when he was doubting, I'm not worthy. And And Jesus will bring restoration. He'll bring healing. He'll bring revival into our life. We just need to humble ourselves and there'll be grace. There will be grace. And if you're feeling hopeless, that there's no hope for you, that's a lie. There's hope for you today, and there's hope for victory and life. And whatever bondage, says that Jesus, he came to set the captives free, right? I prayed that, to break the chains that bind, to release the prison doors and let the captives go out. Whatever someone is in bondage to, you just need to repent and believe. The two ingredients for life and salvation. Repent and believe. You know, salvation is not so far that someone has to go and get it for us. It says it's in our mouth and in our heart. And as we studied for, two Fridays ago, that is just if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. That's how close it is. We have to confess and believe. And you know, when we confess and believe, there's a change. It shows in our attitude. When I repented, there was a change. I didn't go back to those places. You know, I turned away from that. And there was a change in my life. So Jesus is calling those who are heavy laden and oppressed, saying, come, and he will give you rest and healing. So just think of that picture. If you're feeling like there's just a little flicker of light, call on his name. He won't snuff you out. His desire is for you. His desire is that you'll come to him and receive, like those pictures that Jason gave us this morning. Receive his yoke. He will help carry it.